This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Amma ba'd. When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina, as he entered the city, he gave a prophetic advice. And the very first sermon or khutbah that he gave has been recorded in vivid detail by an eyewitness account. So in today's reminder, I wanted to remind all of us of that beautiful Medinan advice. What was the message of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he first entered the city of Medina? It is preserved and narrated by an eyewitness. And not just any eyewitness, but actually a very interesting story in and of himself. And that eyewitness is none other than the chief rabbi of Medina. You are all aware that Medina had some Yahud living in it. And those Yahud, they had some rabbis. And the chief rabbi was a person by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam. And Abdullah ibn Salam, he was a man with a pure heart. And he had heard of the new prophet in Mecca, but he didn't know, is this the real prophet or not? So he began waiting along with the Muslims. He's not a Muslim. And this is a beautiful hadith, because at the beginning of the hadith, he's not a Muslim. And he embraces Islam and he narrates the hadith and he's a Muslim. So the hadith begins, he's not a Muslim. Abdullah ibn Salam had a pure heart and he is waiting for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wants to see, is this the one? Is this the awaited? Is this the promised? The one that we have been told of? Is he him or not? I want to know. So Abdullah ibn Salam is narrating and he said, I would eagerly go and wait at Quba, wait for the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. News had come, he is coming. And he said, I was of the first batches, the first throngs, the first crowd that came and saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come in. Then he has a phrase in the hadith. It is so beautiful, your heart melts at it. And you see who is our Nabi and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Abdullah ibn Salam said, I gazed upon his face. فَعَرَفْتُ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَاذِبٍ And I could see from his face that this is not the face of a liar. Subhanallah. Simply by gazing upon the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Salam embraced Islam. Who amongst us can possibly understand? How can we comprehend the prophetic legacy? Subhanallah. The ambience of the Prophet ﷺ, the charisma of the Prophet ﷺ, the iman that is shining from him, that spiritual souls can detect. Abdullah ibn Salam did not even need to hear one word. He simply gazed upon the countenance of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And right then and there he said, this is not a liar, this is a true prophet. And he embraced Islam on the spot. Subhanallah. Then he said, I heard him say the first words in Medina. This is the Medinan advice. And it is preserved in a beautiful hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. And it's an authentic hadith. What is the first advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave? And it is so relevant for us, especially as we live in non-Muslim lands. Because you know what? We don't think about this. When a Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, Medina was not predominantly Muslim. Think about it. When he migrated to Medina, the majority of people were not Muslim. So what is the advice that he's giving them that is going to benefit that society and will eventually cause the society to embrace Islam? This is preserved in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Salam. And this beautiful hadith, you can memorize it in Arabic or English. It consists of four pieces of advice. Four pieces of advice linked with a blessing at the end. If you follow these four advice, you get the one blessing at the end. What is this hadith? Ayyuhan nas, O people. Number one, afshu salam, spread the salam. Number two, wa at'imu at'am, feed food to the hungry. Number three, wasilu al-arham, be good to your family. Number four, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. Pray at night when everybody is asleep. If you do these four things, number five, تَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You shall enter Jannah in salam. This hadith is called, by the way, it's so important and it's so comprehensive, it is given a title. Because some ahadith are so important, they're given a title. Like we have the hadith of Jibreel. We all know the hadith of Jibreel. It's so important, it's given a title. This is a given a title. It is called the hadith of Salam. Why? Because it is narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam, the hadith of peace. It's narrated by Abdullah ibn Salam. It begins with Salam, spread the Salam. And it ends with Salam. You will enter Jannah in Salam. So this is the hadith of Salam, the hadith of peace, the hadith of no evil, the hadith of beauty and blessings. This is that hadith. It's narrated by Ibn Salam, begins with Salam, ends with Salam. So let's derive some benefits from this simple and beautiful hadith. Firstly, the Prophet begins, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. He did not say, O Muslims, because the message of Islam is global, it is universal, it has in it mercy for all of mankind. We preach to all of mankind, whether they follow or not, that's not our business. إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ عَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابِ. Our job is to preach and teach, and it's up to them if they want to follow or not. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. We preach to all of mankind. The message is universal. If you follow, you will benefit. If you don't follow, then that's your business between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O mankind, ayyuhan nas. Number one, afshu salam. Spread salam. Now, spread salam has two meanings to it. The first and the most obvious and the intended meaning is to spread the greetings of salam. Spread assalamu alaykum. Wherever you go, spread assalamu alaikum. Now, question here, somebody will say, why is this one of the fundamental advices of our Prophet ﷺ? The first thing that he spreads in Medina, the first thing that he comes to Medina, and he is saying, oh people, spread assalamu alaikum. And the response is, because me and you, we have forgotten the real meaning of assalamu alaikum. It has become a cultural greeting devoid of any meaning, of any dua, of any actual symbolic and tangible meaning. It simply becomes words we utter just like hello and goodbye, and it means nothing to us. But that is not the reality of salam. What does salam mean? As-salamu alaykum literally means that I am hoping and praying, I am wishing and making dua. My ultimate goal and desire is that you, my dear brother, should face no harm, no evil, no pain, no suffering. As-salam is the absence of pain. And when we say assalamu alaikum, we are showing that I don't want any harm upon you. I want you to live comfortably and easily. I don't want to harm you. If I am saying assalamu alaikum with my tongue, this means that my hands and my body are not going to harm you. How can I say assalamu alaikum and then steal from you? How can I say assalamu alaikum and then backbite you? How can I say assalamu alaikum and then stab you? It also means I don't want anybody else to harm you. I don't want anybody else to hurt you. My desire is pure. My heart is clean. I want you to live good and peacefully. Assalamu alaikum. So imagine in a society where you begin and end every conversation with assalam. You begin and end every interaction with a testimony of my heart being pure, and I want Allah to bless you. Imagine what's going to happen in that society. If salam was truly said from the heart, you would get a society that has salam in it, i.e. peace in it. And this is the second meaning of spread salam. The second meaning of spread salam is literally spread peace. And the two meanings are complementary, because when you say assalamu alaikum, you are literally spreading peace everywhere. You cannot cause evil if you say salam from the heart. So afshu salam, O Muslims, wherever you go, spread peace. Spread peace, spread blessings, don't spread evil, chaos, fitna, fasad, robbery, stealing, harm. No, get that out. Wherever you go, spread salam. Ayyuhan nas, afshus salam. This is the first advice. And the meaning here, afshus salam, is overall your akhlaq, your interactions with others, make sure they are stellar. These four points that I'm going to mention, each one of them is one of the primary chapters of our faith. And if we perfect all four, we have perfected our faith. The first of these chapters, as-salam, is the interaction. Why? Because we begin and end every interaction with salam. So, spread salam indicates when you deal with other people, deal with them upon excellence, upon love, mercy, tenderness, compassion, with a clean heart. Number two, وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Feed food to the hungry. Feed food to the hungry. Meaning, it's not good enough that you just sit at home and worship Allah. It's not good enough that you in your personal worship are doing good. You have to help others in society. You have to help those that are less fortunate than you. And the greatest need for mankind is food. So your job, O Muslim, is to make sure that others have enough to live off of. And if we are commanded to give people food, then how about clothing? How about shelter? How about things beyond this? If the basic need has been stressed, how about that which is less easier and much easier to acquire? Because if you're striving from food, subhanAllah, that's your number one priority. And our Prophet ﷺ said, go and feed the hungry. Don't just be selfish in your own life. Give unto others and give back to society. And also realize, brothers and sisters, that of the earliest commandments of the Quran, before even Allah legislated salah, before Allah commanded zakah, before there was a command to fast Ramadan, 20 years before Allah told the Muslims to do hajj, Allah revealed in the Quran that the righteous believers, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. They give of their own food, even though they love that food, they need that food. They give it, and they give it to the faqir, and the miskeen, and the asir, and the orphan, and the wayfarer. And they say, we are feeding you this food for the sake of Allah. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want your thanks. We don't want your recompense. We are doing this for the sake of Allah. Of the earliest of revelations, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He does not, the person who rejects Islam, he does not encourage the feeding of the poor, the feeding of the hungry. Brothers and sisters, the righteous Muslim will be at the forefront of charitable causes. And it's an important point to make. When those verses of the Quran came down, and Allah says that the believers feed the prisoner of war, asir, there were no Muslim prisoners of war in Mecca. The majority of the fuqara of Mecca at that time were non-Muslim. Allah never said in the Quran, O Muslim, feed only the Muslim. No scholar of Islamic law in 14 and a half centuries has ever said that sadaqah should only be for Muslims. Yes, zakat, that's something else, zakat. But sadaqah and feeding the poor should be open for all. Hunger is not a Muslim, non-Muslim problem. It is a human problem. And we as Muslims are commanded by Allah to feed unconditionally all those who are hungry. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامِ. They feed of the hungry of all people, all faiths, all backgrounds. No conditions put there. And this, brothers and sisters, is important for us to understand that our religion is a socially proactive religion. When the Prophet ﷺ came to Mecca, there were sins of a societal level going on. Female infanticide. They would bury their daughters alive. You know this. Allah didn't just say in early Islam, Muslims, don't worry about that. You just go pray and let them bury their daughters. You know, of the earliest revelations was what? وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Allah forbade female infanticide from the earliest of revelations. What is my point here? O Muslim, it's not just our job to perfect our relationship with Allah. We also have to try to better society. We cannot force, but we can preach. We can help. We can be proactive. When you see problems around you of a societal level, it is our job to help out. Whether it is poverty, whether it is increased crime, whether it is this and that, this society is our society. We are living here as well. And to be concerned about society is a part of Islam. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامُ وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. That's the second point. So the second point is that Muslims should be socially engaged. They should be giving back to their community. Their presence needs to be felt. People should know your religion. And this is an important point, by the way. We will feed others, yes. But feeding others is not done for the sake of da'wah. Feeding others is not a, we call it in America, a Kodak moment. You take a picture and you put it on the magazine. Feeding is not a PR opportunity. Feeding the poor is not da'wah to Islam. It is the message of Islam. None of us should be doing it for the intention of, oh, let others see how good my faith is. The niyyah should be, this is my faith. Not, I want to show off. No, this is what our religion tells us to do. As Allah says in the Quran, they feed the poor and then they say, don't thank us. لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We are doing this. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ. For what reason? لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Feeding the hungry, my dear brothers and sisters, is not a Kodak moment. It is not something we do for the PR of Islam. It is the message of Islam. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Number three, وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ. Be good to your family. Fulfill the ties of kinship. And this is a very important pillar. So the first pillar was akhlaq. The second pillar was society. The third pillar is family. In these hadith, the third pillar is family. Brothers and sisters, there are many who have this outer aura of piety, but their families know they are not pious. A'udhu billah. It is easy to fool your friends and colleagues. It is impossible to fool your family. You are not a good Muslim if you don't demonstrate your Islam to your family. Simple as that. You are not a good Muslim if your own family recognizes you to be not a good Muslim. There are so many amongst outside, they present themselves as humble, meek, modest. Then when they enter their houses and close the door, they become the tyrants to their families. They become the most evil to their own wives and children, the most miserly, the most harsh. Subhanallah. That's not our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had married so many ladies, our mothers. Not a single one except praise and love for him. Subhanallah. Brothers, and I speak to the brothers now. If your wife can testify to your akhlaq on judgment day, you are saved. The one person that knows you better than anybody else. All of our mothers, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, all of them, they had nothing but admiration and love for our Prophet ﷺ. And that's why our Prophet ﷺ said, the best amongst you, O men, are the best to their wives. And I am the best to my wife. That's what he said. And his wives testified to that. His wives testified to that. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامُ. Be good to your family. Make sure your family has the lion's share of your mercy, of your generosity, of your tenderness. You cannot be proactive in society if you destroy your own family. Because family is the building block of society. What is society other than families put together? So, if you want society to flourish, the family must flourish. You must be good to your family. And all of us have a role to play. Husbands have a role. Wives have a role. Children have a role. Everybody has a role to play. And if we play that role with ihsan, with mercy, with the akhlaq of Islam, society will flourish. And so point number three, be good to your family. And the family here means all family, not just the wife and spouses, but the brothers, the sisters, the cousins, each one according to their level. The stronger the connection, the more the rights they have. And of course, we know the number one right that we have is to our mother. Number one is mother. Number two is mother. Number three is mother. Then number four comes father. We know this. So this is all the rights of the family, that we fulfill the rights of the family. If we do this, we will strengthen society. Wasilul arham. Number four, last but not least. And notice, the first one was your interaction with other people. The second one, giving back to society, being socially active. The third one, your families. Last but not least, nonetheless it is last, is your personal ibadat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let me be brutally honest here. I don't want to cause any misunderstanding or offense, but I have to be honest here. For many of us, we judge a person only by number four. That's how we judge a person, whether they're good or not. And we ignore one, we don't even care about two, and we close our ears for number three. But subhanAllah, our religion is a comprehensive religion. In order to be a good Muslim, our Prophet gave us four characteristics. And last, it's not least, but it is last. Why is it last? Let me explain to you why. Because it is supposed to be private. It is supposed to be between you and Allah. You don't have to display your religiosity on Facebook. You don't type up, oh, last night I prayed tahajjud. Oh, you don't do that. It's supposed to be private. You should not be investigating how personal piety is in another person. That's not your business. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. Pray when everybody is asleep. Pray salat al-tahajjud. Pray at night when everybody is asleep. And of course, he emphasized tahajjud because tahajjud is the queen of all ibadat. If you can master tahajjud, you can master all of the other rituals of worship. So he emphasized that. Meaning, fourth point is your personal relationship with Allah. It was put last in the hadith, not because it is the least important, but because it's supposed to be private. Unfortunately, in our times, we jump to number four. And we want to know, is he namazi or not? And it's important, don't ever misunderstand. Astaghfirullah, you have to pray. But it is one out of other things as well. If a person is, mashallah, praying regularly, but his akhlaq are the worst, his family himself despises the man, he has nothing to do with society, then he has failed in three of these four characteristics. Whereas if another person is struggling to barely pray the fard, yet he is good to his family and doing this and doing that, then overall he has passed with flying colors. So we have to understand, my dear brothers and sisters, Islam is a comprehensive way of life. Rituals are important, very important, but they are one out of many things. You must do others as well. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ. If you can do these four things, and again to summarize, number one, your akhlaq with other people, your interaction with other people should be interactions of peace, interactions of good, of nobility, no harming others. Number two, being good to society, giving back to society, feeding the hungry, taking care of the orphan, sheltering those that have no shelter, always generous and helping people. Number three, your family, your family, your family. Make sure your family is happy with you. Do your best to always have the upper hand, always be the better of the two. And number four, your personal ibadat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you are praying, you are fasting, you're giving zakah. Your rituals have to be good. And of course, the tahajjud is the best of all private rituals. If you can do these four things, what did our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? I guarantee you shall enter Jannah in salam and peace. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to be amongst those people who understand these four points and act upon them and enter Jannah with salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.